And I'm keen to hear our next topic. And as I said before the news, I've got Helen Young with me from Debenhams Otterway. So welcome back, Helen.
Thank you, Ian. It's good to be back.
You didn't bring good weather with you this time. Last time you were here, it was roasting hot, I seem to remember.
Oh, it was an absolute scorcher last time, but unfortunately not today.
No, it's not a bad day, but the topic is worth listening to and talking about. So would you like to introduce it?
Yes, well, I thought it would be useful to talk about what happens in my part of the legal profession when we're dealing with unmarried couples. Because a lot of the work I do is around people getting divorced and sort of financial settlements following divorce. But equally, there are a lot of people who live together these days rather than
call themselves married, sort of.
Well, yes. I mean, they call themselves definitely couples or partners or whatever term they choose to. But it's a popular misconception that there's something known as a common law marriage.
Exactly, yes.
And a lot of people think because they live together for a certain period of time, that means that they get some rights or have this sort of quasi-marriage.
So is there no definition, common law marriage, in the legal profession?
No, it's something that's been used just generally by people sort of over the years, but it has no legal basis.
Wow. I bet that comes as a big surprise to a lot of people.
Oh, it comes as an absolute huge shock. I mean, I've been working in the profession for sort of 25 years or so.
You don't look that old. And I mean that.
good of you to say. But I mean, I've come over some real horror stories in my time when people have simply thought, well, I'm living together with this person. You know, it may have been 20 years or more. They've got children together. They've shared their household together. You know, one person maybe has worked, the other person's taken care of the children. But what they don't realise is that if they don't have that marriage certificate, we have to fall back on various pieces of legislation, some of which are property legislation, so nothing to do with the family environment. So, as I say, it can really produce some very unfair results.
Has there ever existed anything to do with time? Because I had a friend, a bachelor friend, he's now happily married, I might add, but it's appeared to me that coming up to 2 years, he always seemed to split up with the girlfriend. And in the end, he said to me about he's worried about her getting his hands on his property or whatever it was. Is that nonsense then?
It's nonsense insofar as a couple who live together and one of them doesn't die, if I can put it that way.
Right, yes.
Because if you live together and you live together for a period of 2 years or more, and you can prove that you've been dependent on that other person, then if that person dies and doesn't leave you any provision in their will, then you potentially have a claim against their estate.
Yes, okay.
So, yes, there is, you know, some reason behind the 2 years that he had in his mind. But unfortunately, you know, that from the perspective of people living together and not dying, there's still quite a lot of problems.
Which is probably
that they
more
may
the
face.
Norm, in fact.
Yes, I would say so. So, I mean, I think the message that I really wanted to give to people was around what you might do if you find yourself in that sort of situation. And of course, as with many things, the best way forward is to prevent an unfair situation from happening, because if you find yourself in that situation further down the line, there may not be a lot that you can do about
it. So how do you go about preventing that then?
Okay, so, I mean, prevention, you know, again, as we've had discussions before, never the most romantic thing that you're going to do in your life. But, I mean, I think first things first, if you're going to be living together in a property, one of the things that you need to think about, is it going to be jointly owned or is it going to be owned just by one person? Because if you're living together and it's only owned in the name of one person, you as the person who isn't a legal owner already has an uphill struggle on their hands when it comes to further down the line and separation.
Yes.
Because the starting point is looking at the legal title of the property. And if the legal title of the property is just with one person, then you've got the battle against that to say, well, even though the legal title is just one person, In fact, I have an interest in that property, what we would call a beneficial interest,
right, yes.
Which isn't registered at the land registry as it would be if you were joint owners.
Of course, yeah. So you have to then at some point think about, I mean, you say a person has moved in with their partner and they really have to raise this delicate subject, really, about,
well,
you know...
It is. And, I mean, what you have to think about is, you know, am I okay with this being a property that belongs to the person?
Yes.
If I am going to be making a contribution, am I happy that that's sort of a quasi sort of board and lodging?
Yes.
And if the answer to that is yes, well, fair enough. But of course, the converse is that if you go into it thinking, well, I will have rights, and you settle down and you have children together and so on and so forth, you may have a rude awakening when that relationship comes to an end, because A, you don't have any interest in the property unless you can prove that there was a trust arrangement, and I can talk about that in a little more depth. You have no claim for maintenance, because you're not married and therefore, as a couple, you don't have any maintenance claim. The only claim that you potentially have is a claim on behalf of your children, if you have children. And you have a claim for maintenance for your children, but also potentially a claim for property or capital, but only as a sort of loan arrangement, while the children need to be looked after when they're minor children.
And is the would the claim be as good if you're married or not married? It's, you know, if you're claiming, say, for children, is it better then to be married as opposed to
this
odd relationship?
It's better to be married because you've got a whole set of legislation and court powers that you simply don't have when people are not married.
Right.
So when you come to have a financial settlement with those who are married, a judge can, you know, sell property, transfer parts of pensions, all of those sorts of things. But when you're not married, then those powers simply aren't available to a judge. So you have to fall back on a number of potential claims, largely, as I say, around a property right, or, as I say, on behalf of your children, but only as a loan of capital until the children are 18 or finished their education.
I see, OK. Well, I have a question, and you can answer it. We'll have a short break whilst you come up with the answer. And that's, how do we make progress? How do we diplomatically talk to a partner? And but let's have a little break while you think about the answer to that.
OK.
And this is Maps from Maroon 5. Now, did you manage to come up with an answer to me?
Well, there's no great answer, is there?
No, I suppose not.
I mean, you know, I think when anybody's in a relationship, openness and honesty are things to be treasured,
yes,
I think.
Yes,
but obviously with that comes some difficult conversations.
Is a diplomatic way forward to say, let's go and get some legal advice and, you know, play dumb sort of as to what you know about the subject? And
well, I think, I mean, you know, it's all very well to have a sort of potted knowledge of things, but actually nothing beats actually sitting down and going through it in detail.
Yes.
It may be that, you know, if it's starting up, it's just we're buying a property together, then it may be done as part of the conveyancing work when you're buying somewhere, because you'll always be asked, well, you know, who's putting what money into
yes,
it?
Of course, yes.
How do you want to hold the property? Because you can hold it in a way that if one dies, it automatically goes to the other. Or you can hold it with specified shares. So,
I see,
if you came along and said, well, I'm putting £50,000 deposit down, so in the event of our separation, I should get that back
first,
and then we'll split any equity.
Yes.
Then that's not an unreasonable conversation
to have. Something you'd probably agree and forget all about, but as long as it's on paper and, you know, come the time, then...
Yeah,
makes any problem less.
Yeah, I mean, any conveyancing solicitor where they're acting for a couple, they'll be asking those questions, how they want to hold the property. And so, you know, if it's early on in the relationship, it may be just something as simple as that. But I think the thing to recognise is the longer you live together and perhaps then children come along, maybe somebody, you know, has a redundancy payment that they bring in, they pay something off the mortgage. So it's really around just, you know, recognising things that might happen in your life.
Yes.
And so when we have a situation where perhaps it is a little bit more complicated, we can look at something like a living together agreement.
Yes.
You know, a bit like when we talked a while ago now about sort of prenuptial agreements.
Mm-hmm.
People who don't intend to marry can have a living together agreement and says, you know, in the event that we separate, this is what we want to happen with our assets.
And how does that come about? Is it witnessed, or it has to be done with a legal advice?
To make it as legally binding as it can be, you would want each of them to have their own independent legal advice.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anything of this nature. You don't want there to be an argument later, somebody saying, oh, well, you know, you forced me into it.
Yes.
I didn't know what I was doing. It wasn't explained to me properly. But if you have a document that's actually been properly witnessed, and also it says, I have had the benefit of independent legal advice and mm-hmm. I understand what I'm signing, then there's going to be less wriggle room later
on. What's the sort of situation, the typical situation that you see, or the most, you know, most recurring one, or a difficult one? What's one of the really difficult ones that you see?
So the difficult ones really, often a couple that have been together for a lot of years
mm-hmm.
May have, you know, a number of children. Perhaps the property belonged to, say, the man. Lady moves in with him. He says, oh, you know, it's fine, you just live here, but doesn't make any promises about her obtaining an interest in the property. So perhaps she devotes herself to childcare. He's going out making the money. The relationship comes to an end, and then she finds that actually she has no interest in that property, and the best that she can do is argue for an interest that is for the benefit of her children,
mm-hmm.
but which, you know, will not ultimately benefit her once they've grown up. And that's a really sad situation to find yourself in.
Yes.
And, you know, you can find yourself in some sort of pretty awful financial troubles.
Yes. I'm sure it's a source of some good novels, though.
Well, yes. I haven't quite got to that stage in my career yet.
So maybe for retirement, you know, you think about some of the cases. And how long are you bound for silence for numbers of years or what?
In terms of confidentiality?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you're just bound, you know, yes.
So 10 years down the line, I can't suddenly expect to see a novel from you? And
No. Well, I suppose you could write a novel as long as it was fictionalised.
Yes, of course.
And names were not mentioned.
Yes. There's no relationship to known people, as they always put the disclaimer in.
Well, absolutely. And I think especially in our line of work, you know, discretion is absolutely key. My colleagues hear a lot of very difficult situations and have some very difficult conversations.
Well, I'm pleased to say it doesn't affect me, but it does affect a number of my friends. I've been surprised how many have let it go, run on. And one couple that I know of now, like friends of ours, are really in this bad situation. And gosh, it's becoming rather nasty. I can say that. It's a pity they didn't sort something out long ago.
Yeah.
So,
well, prevention.
Yes, as you say. Yes. So, listeners, take to heart. And if you are thinking of getting together, putting it politely, and, seek some advice on it. And, thank you very much, Helen. That's really been quite interesting, even though I say I'm a little beyond it. Well, I am at the moment, anyway.
I'm very glad to hear it, Ian.
So I hope to see you again in a few weeks' time, then.
Lovely.
Well, we'll play on with, you said you like Paloma Faith, and this is hardly appropriate. This is a 30-minute love affair.